Well, ask for interest in your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless His Word. Make it real, make it alive to us, that it be more than just words or theory or ideas, but that the Lord, as He knows by His Spirit how to apply His Word to every one of our hearts and our lives and our particular circumstances, situations in lives, certainly thankful the Lord's able to do that. I'd like to consider, thank you, a thought that the Lord has inspired to me. And I want to look in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Begin with the 12th verse, Hebrews 12 and 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Thought that I want to consider this afternoon is straight paths. Make straight paths for your feet. If you know anything about children, as I know we all do, you tell them, I want you to go run this errand. I want you to go over to the neighbor's house or whatever it is, or go back to the back of the yard and do this. If you could somehow trace their steps, very seldom it's not a straight line. A lot of times they'll take off with an intention to go do it, and then they see the dog. And then maybe they see a ball that's laying over here, and you have to make a little detour over and give the ball a kick, and over here on this side there's a mud puddle that's just waiting to be jumped in, and over here there's something else that calls their attention, and maybe still making their way in that general direction. But if you could trace their path, many times it's not a straight path. There's many things to distract an interested young child's attention. The Scripture here is telling us, don't be like that. Whenever it comes to our walk with the Lord, make straight paths for your feet. Don't allow yourself to be distracted, to be your attention to be called over here to something else and not paying attention, and before you know it, you've lost sight of what you're out to do. And all I know is I'm chasing out after this ball. And then, what was I doing? Well, here's something else. You know, some people live their lives that way. Just wandering aimlessly from one thing to the next. Wherever life takes them, whatever circumstances are, whatever catches their attention, whatever the latest hobby is, the latest trend, the latest fashion or fad, it's whatever's popular to do at the time. Exercise programs. Yes. Our country needs exercise. I need exercise. But it's almost become a fad of P90X and this kind of exercise program and that kind of exercise. And so I'll go and invest all my energy in that. And I'll pursue hard after that. And then, you know what happens? Many times those exercise equipments and CDs, they begin collecting dust by about the second half of the year. And then it's off to find something else to take my attention. Well, I want us to realize this afternoon, it may not be those kind of things that call our attention, but if we're not careful, there are so many things in life that can distract us. There are so many things that if we're not careful, I'll find myself at a point in my life that my purpose isn't real clear. That I realize I've been distracted somewhere along the way. Maybe it's, like we heard this morning, stress. Maybe it's things of life that I have to deal with. And I've allowed myself, I found myself here. And I have to say, Lord, bring me back. Set my eyes again on heaven. I've been distracted here, Lord. I haven't been of a clear focus set on You. Make straight paths for your feet. It's always been interesting, intriguing to me. Those that would, especially in the older days, those that would get in a ship, primitive, without navigation systems, and strike out across the ocean and be able to set a point on a map. We want to land in Plymouth Harbor. We want to land in Massachusetts Bay Area and be able to go. You know, I can steer a boat. Oh, I can steer a boat now. As long as I can see what it is that I'm going for. As long as I can look to the other side of the shore, and I'm going over to that building over there, or I'm in it somewhere over by those two trees, and I can navigate by how I see. But those folks start out in a day or less than a day in, you know what? There's no shore anywhere around. There's nothing that they can look at and be able to say, it's that tree over there. Or be able to look back and say, yes, I can see, I've got my bearings now. But they found a way to be able to navigate. You know, you can't even just say, I'm going to point this boat in the right direction, and I'm just going to keep on going until I get there. Because along the way, you have things to contend with. Along the way, you face some storms sometimes. You know what a storm can do? It can throw you off bearing. It can turn you a little bit. It can disorient you. It can turn you around where now I look around and again there's no trees to compare to. And it looks like I'm going straight ahead as well as the other way I was going. And if we just follow our own thinking, if we're just careless the way that we navigate through life, I'll get turned around a little bit. You know, we can be affected by circumstances of life. You know, offenses, Jesus said, they will come. You know, we can be affected by offenses. And if we're not careful, it'll reorient us. Maybe I'm not going back. I'm not going to give up on the Lord. But maybe it'll affect my thinking just a little bit. It'll skew the way I see things just a little bit. It's blown me a little bit off course. You know, that little bit off course. If we're not careful and we keep going day in and day out, year after year, you know, we'll end up hundreds of miles, so to speak, from where we intended to be.
Right.
Navigation. There are tides in the ocean. And if you start out with a straight line, I'm going across. And so I set my rudder. James talks about a rudder. The helm of the ship. I set that and I set my sails and I'm going straight. Well, there are tides in the ocean that you can't see when you're on the ocean. You don't realize the direction of the current of the ocean when you're out in the middle of it. But what is happening, and again, I can't see it because I'm not looking at that tree and then realizing now I'm over here. If we go along like so many in this life are, like a ship without a rudder, without any direction, without any purpose, they get out into life and they're just swept along with the tide and with the current. The Lord wants us to have something better than that in our lives. That I don't just aimlessly, I'm not just a product or a result of everything that happens to me in life. Scripture talks about every wind of doctrine that blows. Don't be blown back and forth by that. You're going to have to go against the current sometimes. You're going to have to go against the flow. But make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. So in navigation, you know what they relied on, and now they have GPS, navigation, and all by satellite. But back then they had to rely on something that never moves. Something that's fixed, that you can depend on, that year after year, it hasn't changed. I can't look at something out floating in the ocean and follow that because it's going the same direction it'll take me. And so they look for the stars. You know, we've gotten into a time, I use Google Maps. I could maybe find the North Star for you. I don't know my stars very well. I don't know my constellation, but you know, they depended on that. They had to be able to know. I look at that star and I still don't understand altogether how they did it. With the sextant and all the different instruments that they had to be able to get a bearing. To be able to look by something that's absolute. And say, here's where we are in relation to that that is absolute. Isn't it the same with our lives? Yes. Lord, I need a bearing in my life. I need to know, I can't, Scripture says, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Don't measure yourself by the way everyone else is going. But you got to look up. You got to lift up your head to see something that never moves. And that's what I want to get my bearings by. Lord, what is your will? What does your word say that never changes? And I measure myself to that. Lord, am I still on course? Am I still on track? You know those seamen, navigators, they couldn't just take a bear. Well, let me ask you. If you were on a ship with one of those ships, and would you want the captain to take a reading on his instruments? How often would make you comfortable? Every 2 months? Every 3 months? Well, I think I'll go check and see if we're headed the right direction. You know, I'd want him a couple times a day at least out there making sure. Do you know we're still on the same course? I don't want to go to Antarctica. I don't want to go somewhere. I want to know that I'm on the right track. I want to challenge us this afternoon. In the same way, folks, let's not wait for camp meeting to check our bearings. The reason why, and I've been here myself so many times. Folks, camp meetings are for a reason. Revival meetings are for a reason. They're for us to examine ourselves. They're for us to search, to ask the Lord, Lord, am I still on course? Am I still headed in the right direction? Do I need to make some adjustments along the way? You know, people get discouraged sometimes. They say camp meeting after camp meeting. I come back and I'm back in the same place. And I come back and it seems like I live from camp meeting to camp meeting. You know why that might be? I need to take a reading more often than camp meeting to camp meeting. I need to be asking the Lord every day, Lord, am I starting to veer off? Am I starting to make a wrong correction here? Lord, do I need to adjust a little? Whenever I look at it day to day, folks, it's small things. It doesn't become big until I let it go for a period of time. If I don't check the instruments, if I don't look for the star, if I don't compare myself to that, but every few weeks, every few months, whenever I get in trouble, whenever all of a sudden I start seeing the ice pack around me and say, wait a minute, I don't think I'm supposed to be seeing this. I don't think there's supposed to be ice. I better check where I'm at. You know, people react in their lives too often. I start getting into trouble. I fail. I stumble. I fall. And thank the Lord there's correction. Thank the Lord He can back us out and get us on the right track. But folks, He wants us to check the instruments before I get there. Before I ever wonder hundreds of miles off track, if we'll be diligent in our lives. Lord, day by day, search me. Try me, Lord. Examine where I am. GPS, God's positioning system. Where the Lord can look down and say, this is exactly where you're at. You started to drift. You started to wander off track a little bit. You know the older cars that, well, you all would know better than I would. Many of you, that didn't have power steering. And you drive those and the center of the steering wheel might be over at 2 o'clock. And then as the car starts to drift, you don't just turn the wheel back to 12 o'clock. You got to turn it to 10 o'clock and maybe a little bit further to correct the car. And then as you go along and you have to start going back the other way, you had to keep reacting and overreacting because there was a lot of play in the wheel. I want us to realize a point from that for us. I'd like to read Psalms 32. 32nd Psalm. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You know, the Lord's interested in guiding every one of us. Not at the point when all of a sudden I look up and an iceberg's right in front of me. But if I'll be very sensitive to the workings of the Lord in my life, if I'll search Him, if I'll go to the Lord, if I'll go to the Word Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, but not just service times, throughout my life, that I have a practice, Lord, I come and I search the Word. Where am I? I'll guide you by my eye. It goes on to say, be not as the horse Or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like the animals that you have to put a rein and bridle on, and it causes them, the bit causes them pain in their mouth before they'll react. Don't be that way, and not all horses are that way. Some that are able to train them better. But by nature, a horse, you're going to have to get his attention. You're going to have to correct it, not just a little whisper, but you're going to have to goad it in the sides. You're going to have to pull the rein hard enough until it gets his attention. Does the Lord have to do that to us? Whenever I start slowly drifting off course, can the Lord whisper to me and I make a correction? Or do I keep going, not paying attention, not reading the instruments? The Lord keeps having to send things my way, keeps having to allow me to stumble and causing me to feel the pain, so to speak, until finally, maybe I fail. Finally, I come to the place, oh, I'm lost. I'm out of the way. I don't know where I'm at. Lord, help us to listen to that still small voice, to be guided by His eye. I'd like to use one other illustration, and maybe I'll try to draw it. You'll bear with me a minute. Most of you know I had a new heat and air system installed in my house. And whenever you're winter time, when it gets cold and you start feeling the draft and you feel my old system, whenever I was in the house, I'd start getting chilled, start getting cold, and then you'd feel the heat turn on. Well, what the system was doing, this is the temperature, that temperature would start to fall. And it would fall, and then at some point the system would kick on and bring it back up, and then it would be too hot. And then I'd start feeling that, oh, getting hot, starting to sweat, and then finally I'd hear it shut off. And then the temperature would start to drop again until it got too cold again. And then it would kick on and bring it back up, and it was time after time this variation. Well, the newer systems, the way they advertise it is, that's not the way to keep the temperature in your house. That's not efficient. So the way they do it is a system that's much more sensitive. It's able to take much more sensitive readings of temperature, and it doesn't wait until it's way out of range to kick it on. Whenever it detects by half a degree that it's starting to drop just a little bit, it'll kick the system on, not even full blast, but as the temperature starts to drop a little bit, it'll adjust it and bring it back on. And right whenever it hits that line, it'll drop off, and the temperature will start to go down just a little, and it maintains almost a constant temperature throughout the house. Because it doesn't wait until it's too late. It doesn't wait until the temperature goes way up and then shut it all the way off. But I've seen people that are almost like that. Make a start for the Lord, and I want to go out and do all that I can for the Lord, and then pretty soon they drop off. Get discouraged, and maybe they're not attentive, and maybe camp meeting will roll around, and thank the Lord they'll be stirred again, and I want to make a big start again for the Lord. But you know, the Lord wants us to be such that we can be constant through our lives, and I'm not going to tell you that I've been that straight line. Sometimes the Lord's had to come along, but the difference between the two is, how responsive are we to the Lord? Do I wait? Do I just continue on distracted in life and not listen to that still small voice? If we'll listen to Him, the Lord will make those small corrections in our lives. Before we start getting real cold, He'll say, you need to make a little bit of an adjustment here. You need to turn the heat on just a little bit here. Bring it back up before you get really cold. The Lord's had to come along in my life. Clint, you're starting to get distracted. You're starting to get too busy with things of life. You need to make some corrections here, Clint. I don't want to wait. I don't want to be so hard-headed, so dull of hearing, that I wait until the time that I get stranded on the side of the road before I do the preventive maintenance on the car. I want to heed the small checks in my life.
Amen.
Don't be as the horse. Don't be as that car that doesn't have power steering fluid and have to crank the wheel all the way over. And then if you look at your line going back, it's just a weavy line. Sometimes when I mow the yard, you don't realize if you're just looking down right at the ground, if you're going in a straight line. But when you get to the end of the row and you look back, if you haven't been paying attention to where you're going, it's the same with driving. You see sometimes, and I'll have to give a disclaimer, Trina says I do this sometimes, so I'll put that out there. But sometimes you get distracted, your phone beeps and you check what it is, and if I get distracted too long, then I'm over close to the center line. And then I look up and I make a correction, and sometimes you see people, I don't think I'm as bad as maybe everyone says this, as some of the others that I see that all over the road, all over it. You see the bumper stickers, hang up and drive. Lord, help us that we hang up the things in life that would distract us. That I keep my eyes on the road. I don't want to be distracted by the things that would come my way. And I'm looking at this, and I slowly start to drift off center line. I slowly start, and then I look up, and Lord, help that it's not to the point I'm already over the line. The Lord wants us to make, really driving is all about a series of very small corrections. Going down the interstate even, it's a series to the point we don't even hardly realize it as we're driving. Newer cars with power steering fluid and good suspension in it, you keep your hand on it. And as you start to drift just a little bit, you make very small corrections. I believe throughout our lives, the Lord has very small corrections that if we'll heed, they won't become bigger, worse corrections that I have to make. The story we heard of a young man, 16-year-old, that was driving down the road, fell asleep, got distracted, certainly from his driving, woke up and tried to correct and overcorrected. And it happens so often. How many folks in their spiritual lives have made a wreck of their soul? They've become distracted. They don't realize. They're not looking at the goal. They haven't checked the sextant, so to speak, in a long time. Haven't checked with the Lord to really do an inventory of where I'm at. Looks the same to me. It's all ocean around me. As far as I can tell, I'm still going straight. You know, you do that enough and you don't check your instrument, you can turn all the way in a full circle and not even realize you've turned around if you go slowly enough. People have done it. People at one time had set their sails for heaven. They had said, I'm going on, I'm going the right way. And then they started getting distracted. Pride started getting in the way. Other things that they started entertaining. And it started making small adjustments. You know, I have to believe the Lord tried to send things their way to say, wake up. Wake up. Listen to this. Look at where you're going. Look, you think I'm still right about in the same place. But you don't only look at that. You look at the course that it'll take you on. You look, maybe I've just pointed in a little different direction here. If you don't get pointed back and you keep going, you'll end up far, far away. And how many people that we see. It happened to Christian, Pilgrim's Progress, remember that? He walking along and there was a stile over the fence, and so he took it. There was another road that looked a little better on the other side of the fence. And as far as he could see, they just went right in line with one another. Well, why wouldn't I take the better road? Hop over the fence, take the better road, get caught up in conversation, and you don't realize what's happening. The more you walk, the slowly the road starts to diverge. Until he finally realized, I'm lost. I'm in trouble, and was captured by giant despair. Lord, help us that we be attentive. Lord, help us that I take inventory in my life. Make straight paths for your feet. Lord, help us that we not be like the path that weaves back and forth. We get to the end of the row when we're mowing and look back and weaving all over. I want to make straight paths. I remember I've said it before, Grandpa Porter wanted to plant a crop of wheat for deer. And he was interested in that. Older man, couldn't drive at that point. Midian, tell me, Clint, you want to make a straight row? You go up and tie a little ribbon on the fence on the other end. And as you're driving towards it, you keep your eyes straight on the ribbon. And when you do that, you don't even have to look down. And you don't even have to watch the steering wheel as much because I got my eyes exactly where I'm going. And if I start to weave a little bit, I correct it right on the spot. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Whenever I start to make a wrong move, whenever I start to think about something wrong, that I correct it immediately. I don't let it go on. I don't allow the thing to continue to grow and build into something worse, but that I make a correction on the spot as I'm going. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me here. Lord, correct my thinking here. And whenever you do that, sometimes you can even wonder because the tendency is to look down. Look down at the ground where I am, but if you keep your eye on the goal, you get to the end and I've proved it. You look back then on the row behind you and it's straight as can be. Families, children have been left with nothing but legacy of confusion, discouragement, because mom and dad never got it locked in. Never got a real clear bearing. This is the right path. This is the way to go. Maybe as they're going along, that weave off in this direction and weave off in that direction and weave off. Make straight paths for your feet. The scripture there in Hebrews, really the reason it says is that they may not be turned out of the way. So that those that are looking on, maybe by the mercy of God, I can somehow get to the end of life and correct just in time to make it into heaven. I don't want to live my life that way. I don't want to leave that kind of legacy for my children. I don't want to leave whenever I go out of this world and have them say, I hope he made it. I know at different times he was real sincere and fervent for the Lord and he had his problems. Seemed like he went back and forth and up and down and we never quite knew where Dad was. We never quite knew how. I don't want to leave that kind of legacy. And none of us have to. None of us have to leave that kind of testimony in our lives. The Lord, as David said, he's set my feet on the rock. And he's given me a new direction. He's given me purpose. He's turned me, as I think of it, as I'm wandering around lost and confused and dazed and drunk on the wine of this world. And the Lord says, here, I'm going to pick you up. Takes us by the shoulders and says, see that? That's heaven. And I'm setting you on the right path. I'm going to set you, this is the right direction for you. Walk in it. He's given us direction. He's given us purpose. So Lord, help me that I'd be attentive. I want to look at one more scripture before we close. Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs 4, and let's read the 25th verse. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let thine eyes look right on. The midst of all the distraction that's in the world around us, all the troubles of life, the storms that we have to go through. Lord, help us that I not lose my bearing. That I not allow my sight to become distracted to something else. But that I would check my bearings. Yes. That we would take spiritual inventory. Not only at camp meeting time. Not only when I get in trouble. But every day. The time that I spend with the Lord. The communion that I have with Him. Sensitive and tender to the pricks of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's faithful to check us. You get one of those GPSs and you drive. You make a wrong turn. You know, it'll tell you real quickly, recalculating. You've made a wrong turn. But if you keep listening to that long enough, you keep going and you don't listen, it'll let you keep driving the way that you're going, but it'll try to get you back. Lord, help us that we listen to His checks and His pricks. I want to make it. I want to leave a straight path behind me. You pray for me. Amen.